Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. God's church has a two-pronged commission. Under the late Worldwide Church of God founder Herbert W. Armstrong, the first commission of the church was to preach the true gospel message about the coming kingdom of God all around the world. Here in the Philadelphia Church of God, after Mr. Armstrong, we have a commission, and you can find it here in Revelation 10, verse 11. Our first commission, supporting PCG Pastor General Gerald Fleury, is Revelation 10, verse 11. You must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. In other words, the warning message goes around the world a second time. It has to happen again because the WCG, after Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, fell apart. The message went out once. Now it has to go out again to the entire world. The world needs to know that the second coming of Jesus Christ is imminent. But that's only the first commission of the PCG today, warning the world. The second commission you could find in Matthew 28, and really a variety of other verses. Ezekiel 34 is another example. But the second commission of the church is to feed the flock. Notice here Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's Jesus Christ speaking. It's the very end of the book of Matthew. This is showing that not only do we deliver a message to the world, but we also respond to those who want to pursue that message. A small number of people will be stirred to take action based on the warning message that they are hearing. God will open their minds and call them, as it says in John 6, verses 44 and 65. And those God is calling need a follow-up. They need contact with the ministry. They need to be fed spiritually and be brought to the point of being invited to Sabbath services with the Philadelphia Church of God. And once they're in the PCG, they need to continue to be fed spiritually at Sabbath services and in their Bible study. We need to take care of those in the church as well. If the focus was so outward that we only cared about warning the world and we neglected the people who are actually members of the church, that would be a real shame. And perhaps some members would waste away spiritually because they're not being taken care of. So the first commission of the church, warn the world, Revelation 10, verse 11. The second commission of the church, feed the flock, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Warn the world, feed the flock. Alert mankind to the suffering that is coming and the return of Christ that will stop that suffering, but then also respond when some people are stirred to take action and help the people who God invites to the church. take care of the brethren, the flock, the little flock of God. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's James 1, verse 27, describing pure religion. Christianity is not just a label, but a way of life. And to practice the right kind of religion, the way that God commands, we have to feed the flock. We have to take care of the brethren, the fatherless and widows, and everybody else. And that part at the end about keeping himself unspotted from the world, that's also part of pure religion, and we'll get into that later. Last week here in Edmond, Oklahoma, on the campus of Herbert W. Armstrong College, we had our first meeting of Philadelphia Club. Philadelphia Club, we start up in August with a short meeting. The new Armstrong College freshmen join the club. We have Edmond members of the congregation in the club. And it's a service club. It's all about serving and strengthening the congregation. And in a lot of our field congregations around the world, we have activities and programs and services where the brethren take care of each other. The deacons, the ministry takes care of the flock. We're all human. We all have physical needs and spiritual needs, and the church has to provide for those for all of the members of the church. Philadelphia Club really does help serve the needs of the Edmond congregation. There is a specific focus on the elderly, on the seniors. This club, it's hard to believe, actually started 20 years ago this December. Coming up in December, it was an idea first discussed at a deacons and elders meeting in Edmond in December 2005. January 2006 was the first Philadelphia Club meeting. We have dozens of members of this club in the Edmond congregation, and it is a focus on fulfilling the second commission. Yes, warning the world, blowing the trumpet, warning about the coming suffering is extremely important. It is the first commission, but then we also have a second commission. We can't be so outward focused that we forget about the people already in the church. We can't neglect the little flock. Notice here, 1 John 5. Perhaps our primary need as human beings is to be loved, to be seen, to be heard, to be cared for. We need love. That's our biggest emotional need, our biggest spiritual need. Notice here, 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Well, that's a very interesting definition of love here in 1 John 5, verse 3. It's not just making other people feel good or, you know, going by whatever our conscience tells us is right. If we are truly showing love, it means we are keeping God's law. God is love. The law is written down to explain to us who God is and how to act like him. We need to be love. Keeping God's law helps us put God ahead of ourselves, and it helps us to treat other human beings with dignity and respect, with deep care and concern. God's love fulfills the Ten Commandments. When we keep God's law, we invigorate our relationships with God and with other people. Our relationships are caused to bloom and blossom when we obey God. When we choose the tree of life, God's give way, his way of sharing service, cooperation, his way of love, how could we not have really wonderful relationships when we're always focused on showing love toward God, putting him first in our prayer and Bible study, and then putting what we prayed and studied about into action through obedience? That will strengthen our relationship with God and with other people. When we're putting others ahead of ourselves, when we're serving, when we're giving, when we're letting God impact the way we interact with others. That is God's love, keeping his law. And that is a huge focus of Philadelphia Club, strengthening the Edmond congregation, which then strengthens the entire Philadelphia Church of God. And like I said, we have similar programs in many of our congregations around the world, a focus on family in the congregations, our spiritual family, being mindful of the needs of everyone, making sure everyone is comforted. Back in the April 2006 Philadelphia News, there was an article about the first Philadelphia Club meeting in January of 2006. And that article reported the purpose of Philadelphia Club, which is to make service opportunities happen. To make service opportunities happen. We live in a world that is increasingly turning into a bunch of spectators, people who sit on the sidelines and critique the man in the arena. It's probably at no point more striking how much of a spectator society this is than when a crime is happening in public and everyone just pulls out their phone to take a video. And there's crowds standing around watching, maybe even laughing while someone gets beaten up or robbed or even killed. No one is stepping in to do anything about it. It's a spectator society. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all become vigilantes to stop crime, but it's just an example of how passive society has become. We just watch other people do things and we don't take appropriate action. It's very easy to act this way when it comes to service. We might see a need in our family, in our friendships, in our congregation, in the work, and then just sit there and assume someone else will take care of it. It's not my business. It's not my responsibility. I'll just let it happen through somebody else. Now, we have to act within God's government. We have to do things in wisdom, the way that God wants. But how often could we really be too passive in our relationships and not serve the way that we could because we assume someone else will handle it? Notice here, 1 John 4, verse 19. We love him, God, because he first loved us. God is proactive. God reached out to all of us first to start a relationship with us. Naturally, normally, none of us would even be thinking about God very much. We'd be going about our lives the way we see fit. But if God is reaching out and starting this relationship, if he's loving us first, that is why we love him back. This is God's example, proactive love, proactive service. In Philadelphia Club, we emphasize loving the brethren first so they will love us back. Reaching out, making a phone call, or visiting with a senior on the Sabbath, checking in. We have different groups that help out different seniors in the congregation with yard work or other projects as well. We have a group leader that will reach out and see if there's anything that that senior needs, and then delegate responsibilities within the group to make sure that those needs are taken care of. I have the wonderful privilege of doing 60 in-home visits per year in the Edmond congregation. My wife and I basically get to invite ourselves over to the homes of the brethren and just talk with them for an hour. It's a relaxing conversation about nothing in particular. And it really is amazing how fast these conversations produce warmth and trust and love on both sides. The brethren all of a sudden feel more comfortable with the ministry. And we feel boosted and energized and encouraged by them. And so much of the time, these in-home visits lead to future plans with those people. They might say, oh, it'd be great to get together another time. We should have you over for dinner soon. Or let's go out and do this together. That would be great. The relationship is built. But you see, it all comes from being proactive. Mr. Fleury wanted this to be more emphasized in the Edmond congregation, that every household would receive one in-home visit every year from the ministry. And it really is building relationships, building bonds within God's family. It's proactive service. It is feeding the flock. It's taking care of the church, which is the second commission of the church. Yes, we're warning the world. Yes, we're delivering God's message to the largest audience possible, urging people to repent, to escape the coming suffering. And we're providing a vision of the wonderful world tomorrow when Christ has returned and is setting up God's perfect government on earth. That's all the first commission, warning the world, prophesying again, building on what Mr. Armstrong did before us. But then there's also the second commission of the church of the work. We can't forget about that. It's proactive service, reaching out, showing love first for the brethren. This is about giving people the attention they need. And that's something I've learned in this job in the ministry, is how much people do need attention. These in-home visits have really caused some people to open up. That was not really necessarily the point of the visit, but people do tend to feel a little bit more comfortable in their home to bring up certain subjects. And I've learned about people's trials and tests, their character growth through those experiences. Sometimes they might have had a rough upbringing or faced certain kinds of trauma. And it was so helpful for them to be able to talk about it with somebody. And what if those people who needed to talk didn't receive the attention they needed. We never know, based on looking at people on the surface, how they're really feeling. And they need, everyone needs attention. Everyone needs love. Notice here, 1 John 4, continuing in verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. Loving the brethren, feeding the flock, taking care of their physical and spiritual needs. That is how, that's a major way that we express the love of God. We are showing love toward God by loving the brethren. Philadelphia Club is a reminder of this. My 60 in-home visits in Edmond each year are a reminder of this. And I also try to do a lot of in-home visits in the field, in my five congregations in the field. But it's proactive love, loving the brethren first, and building a stronger spiritual family in the church. A stronger church makes for a stronger work. Remember, pure religion, James 1, verse 27. It's visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. It's making sure that we're all doing our part under God's government to feed the flock, to take care of the church, fulfilling the second commission of the church. But also James 1, verse 27 says to stay unspotted from the world. Remember, this society is a spectator society. People are turning inward and would rather stare at a screen. They'd rather be a viewer than a doer. We're watching other people live their lives and doing nothing. And we need God's help to be more unselfish. We need to prefer doing over viewing, living the give way instead of the get way, making the effort, spending the time to interact and to share God's love with others. Staying unspotted from the world, that's a tough thing in this evil world. But a lot of it is just about that right focus. Doing instead of viewing, getting out there, loving, giving, sharing, serving, feeding the flock. We'll just conclude with this quote about this in the James booklet from Mr. Fleury. You can get a copy of the James booklet for free at thetrumpet.com. But notice this quote from page 31. This is how we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. As James says, by throwing our energies and our very lives behind this most honorable, life-saving work of God. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.